And on the morrow, Justine died. Elizabeth's heart-rending eloquence failed to move the judges. My passionate and indignant appeals were lost upon them. She perished on the scaffold as a murderess. From the tortures of my own heart, I turned to contemplate the deep and voiceless grief of my Elizabeth. This also was my doing, and my father's woe, and the desolation of that late so smiling home, all was the work of my thrice accursed hands. I beheld those I loved spend vain sorrow upon the graves of William and Justine, the first hapless victims to my unhallowed arts. Justine died. She rested, and I was alive. About this time, we retired to our house at Bellerive. This change was particularly agreeable to me. Often, after the rest of the family had retired for the night, I took the boat and passed many hours upon the water. Sometimes, with my sails set, I was carried by the wind, and sometimes, after rowing into the middle of the lake, I left the boat to pursue its own course and gave way to my own miserable reflections. I lived in daily fear lest the monster whom I had created should perpetrate some new wickedness. I wished to see him again, that I might wreak the utmost extent of abhorrence on his head and avenge the deaths of William and Justine. Our house was the house of mourning. My father's health was deeply shaken by the horror of the recent events. Elizabeth was sad and desponding. "When I reflect, my dear cousin," said she, "on the miserable death of Justine Moritz, I no longer see the world and its works as they before appeared to me. Now misery has come home, and men appear to me as monsters thirsting for each other's blood. William and Justine were assassinated, and the murderer escapes. He walks about the world free and perhaps respected. But even if I were condemned to suffer on the scaffold for the same crimes, I would not change places with such a wretch." Even as she spoke, I drew near to her as if in terror, lest at that very moment the destroyer had been near to rob me of her. Sometimes I could cope with the sullen despair that overwhelmed me. But sometimes the whirlwind passions of my soul drove me to seek, by bodily exercise and by change of place, some relief from my intolerable sensations. My wanderings were directed towards the valley of Chamounix. The rain was pouring in torrents, and thick mists hid the summits of the mountains. What were rain and storm to me? I resolved to ascend to the summit of Montanvert. I remember the effect that the view of the tremendous and ever-moving glacier had produced upon my mind when I first saw it. The sight of the awful and majestic in nature had indeed always the effect of solemnizing my mind and causing me to forget the passing cares of life.